Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the book of Psalms, chapter 45. I'll read just some verses here, or a couple verses to start with, and then some other verses. But the psalmist says, "My heart is indicted, are full a good matter." Now what is this good matter? He says, "I speak of the things which I have made touching the king." So his heart is full concerning the king, and that is the king, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "My tongue is a pen of ready writer." Then he says, "Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God has blessed thee forever." The book of Psalms sets out the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It sets him forth as the anointed prophet. It also sets him forth as the anointed priest. And it sets him forth as the anointed king. Look at verse number 6. "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter." So it sets him forth gloriously that he reigns and he reigns forever. And he's sovereign over all things. This tells us this morning of the Lord Jesus Christ how excellent that he is. Says he's fairer than the children of men. It also says right here in this these verses that he's blessed forever. And it says in verse number 7, "Thy God has anointed thee with oil of gladness above thy fellows." So we have the King, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, "Thou art fire." In the Hebrew, this means double. This word does. It's beautiful, beautiful, or fire, fire. And Samuel Rutherford wrote this. He says, "O fire sun, O fire stars, fire flowers, fire roses, fire lilies, but O 10,000 times fire, Lord Jesus." Then he says, "Alas, I have wronged him in making the comparison this way. O black sun and moon, but O fire, Lord Jesus. O black flowers and black lilies and roses, but O fire, fire, ever fire, Lord Jesus. O black heaven, but O fire Christ. O black angels, but surpassingly fire, Lord Jesus." The natural man, the natural eye, the carnal mind discovers no beauty in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53 tells us this. He was hated. He was reviled. He was sent in likeness of sinful flesh. And he experienced the very scorn of this cruel world. That was the enmity. The enmity of the natural man against him. But here it speaks of his beauty, his great beauty. There's the beauty of his perfect manhood. We look at ourselves and our origin and our birth. We look at our behavior, and what do we see? We see depravity, don't we? We see deceitfulness. We see sin. If we look a little more, we see more sin, don't we? In Adam, David said this. He says, "I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." But the Lord Jesus Christ is sinless. The Lord Jesus Christ has sinless perfection, and he's the only one. Innocency is not found among the sons and daughters of Adam. But here's Christ, and here's his beauty. He's spotless. He descended into the midst of sin and defilement. Yet he contracted none. He eateth with sinners. The Bible says he's a friend of sinners. And boy, I'm glad of that, aren't you? That he's a friend of sinners. He's the Holy One. There's his birth. Here's something new upon the face of the earth. He was born of a sinful woman, yet he has no taint of a sinful nature. From Bethlehem to Calvary, there's no defilement in our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this beauty. On Calvary, he bore our sins. He made atonement for our sins. The Bible even says over in Corinthians, made sin for us. There's the beauty of this perfect one. There's the beauty of his righteousness. And righteousness is a beauty. He perfectly obeyed the holy word of God. He fully obeyed God. We find that there's never been one before. There's never been one after that perfectly obeyed God. He's the only one. He said his delight was to do the will of God. His meat, that was his meat. He came to finish the work. We find that Christ said of Satan, he has nothing in me. Can't find anything. Pilate's wife said he was a just man. Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. The dying thief says he's done nothing amiss. The centurion said that he is a righteous man. Peter said he did no sin. No guile found in his mouth. Christ says, I always do those things that please the Father. His obedience was pure and spotless. Every thought of his heart, every look of his eye, every word of his mouth, every action is righteousness. What beauty. What beauty in the Lord Jesus Christ. This wrought robe, this beauty is for all the election of grace. This righteousness. It tells us here that the daughters of Zion, that they may appear before the king. And he's my righteousness. He's my salvation. Then there's the beauty of his lowliness. You know, we look at this and we're lost in wonder. We're lost in love. We're lost in praise as we think about him coming from the height of glory down to this world. Oh, he was born. And there's the Virgin Mary. She carried him in her arms, but he's her creator. He created her. Here's one that is a possessor of all riches, unsearchable riches. Yet the Bible says, for our sakes, he became poor. There's beauty in this, isn't it? What self-denial that our Lord went through. What meekness. The Bible says he is oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth as a lamb dumb before the shearers there. Oh, he prayed, Father, forgive them. We see the cross and the humiliation. But we read in the Old Testament there that he is set like a flint to that cross. Set like a flint toward it. Even his disciples forsook him. Oh, the beauty we see of this lowliness of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the beauty of his love. That covenant love before the world was framed. What could bring him from heaven's glory? Love. We see him in Gethsemane. Love. We see him at the cross. Love. We see him under a load of sin for his people. And what was it? Love. Oh, John, the 15th chapter says, as a father loveth me, so I've loved you. Isn't that our beautiful Lord? Fire, Lord Jesus. What love. Oh, this love has sought us. This love has found us. This love has delivered us. This love has washed us. And this love clothes us. And this love is going to carry us to glory, as you sung a while ago. It's a rich love, everlasting love, unchanging love. Then the scripture says this, grace is poured into thy lips.
grace.
Hawker said this, said it's like honey that it might drop upon his people, this grace to cheer and enrich them. To cheer his people. Grace is a precious word. Not only is it a precious word, it's something special, isn't it? Grace is God's favor to the hail deserving. His grace can't be earned. It can't be merited. It can't be bought. But it's grace to the hopeless, helpless. It's grace to those that are dead in trespasses and sin. It's free. It's sovereign grace. It is grace that put us into Christ. It is grace that we're chosen in Christ. It is grace that we're accepted in Christ Jesus. And His people, His elect, His chosen, shall know the grace of these sealed lips. Turn with me over to Ephesians, chapter number 1. I want you just to look at this verse 13. Now here's these lips of grace pouring honey, flowing. Look what it says. In whom you trusted, after that you heard the word of truth. Now don't never tell me that truth's not important. A lot of people says it's not important. But here's the, after you heard the word of the truth. Now notice this. The gospel of what? Of your salvation. Oh, have you heard these lips of grace one day tell you of your salvation? Tell you what Christ has done. Here it is, the gospel. Not the gospel of somebody else. The gospel for you. Tells you what Christ has done for you. The gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that you believed. Then you're sealed for the Holy Spirit of promise. Oh, I hear these lips. These grace-filled lips. You know one thing they tell me? I've loved you with an everlasting love. Loving kindness, I've drawn you unto myself. Oh, what grace that flows. Loves you before heaven and earth was framed, before it is called into existence. I hear these lips say, in love, having predestinated you unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto Himself. In this love, oh, I hear Him say, I've loved you to the end. I'll never forsake you. I hear these lips say, and here's this grace, and it says that you was lost, but now I've found you. I'm the shepherd. I came to seek and to save the lost. I hear this shepherd say, you were gone astray. We've all went our way, the Scripture says. We've wandered far away. But He says, I found you. I found you. I hear these lips say, come unto me. Come, come. Peter says, to whom cometh? I believe that's what the Christian life is. It's coming to Christ. It's coming to Christ. It's coming to Christ. It's coming to Him. A continual thing. Oh, He says, I found you. Isn't that a beautiful picture where He goes out and He finds a sheep, puts Him on His shoulders. The lamb puts Him on His shoulder. He says, I've laid you on my shoulder. What a place. He says, I've drawn you with cords of love. I have effectually drawn you. You know, he said there in John, says, if I be lifted up. Now, what was this lifting up? It was the cross. That's what it was. Right before that, he says, the cross. He says, I'm going to draw all unto me. He's going to draw all his people unto him. All these lips of grace, they speak life. Life. He says, my life I've given you. Because I live, you live. I've chosen you out of this world. Because I chose you from the beginning, before the world. Now I've called you out of this world. I hear these lips say, I've redeemed you. I've bought you. I've obtained an eternal redemption. I've paid in full whatever justice demanded. Whatever it's demanded, he says, I've paid. I've paid it all. Oh, what grace. What grace. This grace, this free, sovereign grace, says, I've been gracious unto you. I'll be gracious and I'll be merciful. He says, I've forgiven you of your sins. That's grace, isn't it? Hear these lips of grace. Says, I've forgiven you. Oh, our sins had been heaping up from the day we were born. But he says, thy blood cleanses from all sin. Cleanses. Says, I put it away. What grace! I put it away as far as the east is from the west. I put it the very depths of the sea, never to be remembered anymore, behind my back. And he's took it out in the wilderness, never to be seen again, hasn't he? Took it out. Oh, these lips of grace says, I am your salvation. I took your place on the cross. Substitutionary atonement. Oh, how great it is. Christ took our very wrath. It's poured out on him. He bore it. He says, now you're free. You know what the Lord calls his people? A free man. They are free men. And we're free. We've been made free to serve the Lord. I want to serve Him. We've been free to worship Him. I want to worship the Lord of glory. I want to bow before Him. Oh, these lips of grace. This is, I give you eternal life. None shall pluck them out of my hands. Oh, these lips say, you're justified. You're made righteous. I've spread my righteousness, my perfect, whole, pure, complete over you. I put it over you. How are we going to stand? It's His righteousness. That's how we're going to stand. Doesn't it say you're justified from all things? You know, we're saved in such a way. Now, this is how great salvation is. That we are saved in such a way, the Scripture says, that none can bring a charge against God's elect. Now, you figure that out. That's a great salvation, isn't it? There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ. All these lips of grace says, I've sent my Spirit. I've sent my Spirit to set you apart. You've been set apart already in the purpose of God from the beginning. But now I come to set you apart in the world. Set you apart in this world. To sanctify you. Oh, I've given you a new nature, a holy nature. A nature that John says cannot sin. Jude says we are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Christ Jesus. Then he says called. Doesn't it? Remember what he says? Oh, These lips of grace says, I've blessed you. And you have been blessed. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I flipped on the television one day and I heard a fellow read this verse. And he just got through reading it and then he says, well, if you'll let him, he'll bless you. After he just read the verse. Oh, he hath blessed us. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And he goes on and says, he's abounded toward us. We've obtained an inheritance. This morning, just think about the spiritual blessings that's been given unto us. Everything we have has been given to us. Amen. Listen, everything. Oh, to His praise. Praise of His glory. Everything's been given to us. This morning, we've been blessed in the purpose of God. We've been blessed in the power of the Spirit. We've been blessed by the Word. The Word didn't come in word only, but it came in power. Came to our very hearts. And we're blessed with the very promises of God. Precious promises. Exceedingly great and precious promises. All these lips of pure grace, they speak this morning of abounding grace. It says sin abounded, but grace did much more abound. Superabounding grace. The Bible speaks of overflowing grace. It speaks of grace heaped up on grace. It speaks of rivers of grace. It says God is of all grace. God of all grace. These lips say to us this morning, rest. Rest. Christ is our resting place. He's our Sabbath. That's the only resting place. You can't rest this morning in a works religion. No way. It's like they do this and that and say, well, God's going to look, I'll get a star for this and I'll get a star for that and God's going to take notice of all of this. Oh, you can rest in grace. You can rest in what Christ has done. I can't rest in what I've done, but I'm resting in what He's done. Our Lord Jesus Christ. You know these lips says rejoice. Rejoice. Brother Don preached on, you're complete in Christ. Rejoice. You're complete in Him. Here's something he says, and I don't quite understand it. Maybe Brother Todd and some of these other fellows can tell you. He says, all is yours. All is yours. Rejoice. He says, peace. I'll give you peace, not like the world gives you. You know, the world, that's all they talk about is peace. Never have any. It's a false peace. It's a vaporizing peace. It just comes and for a little short time and it goes. But Christ, He's our peace. And that's an everlasting peace. Christ in Him, it's all right. And it's going to be all right. And it's going to be eternally all right. In Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, here's something else, these lips. It says, I pray for you. I pray for you. I want my brothers and sisters to pray for me. Oh, Christ says, I pray for you. I intercede for you. I'm your advocate. Him before the throne. Turn with me over to John, the 17th chapter. Oh, here's this lips, this whole chapter is lips of grace. Here's our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you would have thought it'd been something to have been the side of Christ when you prayed this. If you was there, you thought that'd be something. God's recorded it for us. Here it is. Here it is, right here for us. Oh, look at this morning. Look what he says here in verse number 24. Look what grace says. Father, I will. You know, I don't care a whole lot about your will, my will, but I care about Christ's will. Man says he's going to do this and that, and he may perhaps do it. He may die. Or a lot of things can happen, but Christ says, I will. He says, Father. Now, listen, Father. Now, here's these grace-filled lips. Here's, as Harker says, honey to cheer us. Honey to enrich us. He says, I will that they also whom thou hast given me, those that are given me. Look at verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh. That's one gift. That he should give eternal life. Second gift. To as many as thou hast given him. Here's another gift. The people is given unto him. And he's the giver of eternal life. But he says, I will, verse 24, that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. He says, I will. That they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Look at verse 23 then. And has loved them as thou hast loved me. I just can't get over those words, can you? He says you've loved them as thou hast loved me. He says you loved me before the foundation of the world. He says, I will. Here's his prayer. I will. Then our text, as we go back to it, it says, therefore God has blessed thee forever.
Amen.
You've blessed our Lord forever. Here's a blessed shepherd with his sheep, and he enfolds them, and I hear him say, I must bring them. Don't you? I must bring him. He's blessed to have a possession of a people given to him of his Father, redeemed by his blood, quickened by his Spirit. And these shall praise and worship and bless him throughout all eternity. I say to you this morning, we owe him everything. To his love, to his blood, to his obedience. There's a host that's gone on. There's another host. Many times they go one by one. There's a host coming. And this host is going to worship the Lamb throughout all eternity. Worship the Lamb of glory. Thou art fire. Beautiful, beautiful art thou than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips that he might grace us. God has blessed thee forever.
Amen.